Hey, Faith Lutheran Church, this is Pastor Terrell, and I want to do a Monday morning reflection on some of our conversation from yesterday. That would be Sunday, January 8th. We are doing this because instead of hitting save, I think, after my sermon, with the intention of posting my sermon online, I must have hit delete because yesterday afternoon, I got on my phone, which is how I record the sermon, and there was nothing there. And so, but what we talked about yesterday was so great. I wanted to reflect on this a little bit for those of you who had missed or who want to think about it a little bit more. So in Bible class, and the adult Bible class, we talked about a biblical worldview. And how important it is for us as Christians to have one mind and to think in unity and to seek after right or healthy or sound doctrine, as Paul would say to Timothy and Titus. So we seek after this because it is true and good and righteous. And it is true and good and righteous because it is the Lord's, right? It is Jesus our King and Lord's words, and his words give us, as he says in John 14, the way and the truth and the life. So do you want life? Yes, Jesus has it. Do you want to know truth? Jesus has it. Do you want to know the way? Then Jesus has it. And he gives it to you, all that you need, John says later on in chapter 20, everything you need for life and salvation is written for you here. Paul will say the same thing in Romans, I think Romans 15, that these things are written for your instruction so that you may have hope. And so as a Christian today, you are living in a time where you have people who put themselves under the King and his words and shape their world viewer their belief system according to his way, and you also have people who say that it's ridiculous, and they make their worldview or belief system into what they think is right in their own eyes. They think what is true in their own way, and so, and then you maybe have some in between who say they're Christian, but often their life is shaped by opposing views and beliefs, right? And we had a great discussion looking at Paul's letter to the Corinthians and to Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise his instruction. That's not a perfect quote, but that's the gist there. And it went right into the divine service that we had yesterday. It was such a perfect transition. You almost thought I would have planned it, but it is God working in the way he works to teach us and to shape us and to present us the gospel and his holy word. And so the reading, the gospel reading that was the focus of our meditation yesterday was from Matthew chapter 2, and it's the reading for Epiphany. So we've entered into the season of Epiphany, and Epiphany is kind of, it means like a revealing of or a revelation. So what we are doing for the season of Epiphany is we're showing that the one who was born, Christ, the child, in the manger on Christmas is the Son of God, is God. And so Epiphany is filled with stories like this. And the story for Epiphany is the visitation of the wise men or the magi from the east and Herod's reaction to this revelation that there is a king who was born in Bethlehem. And what's neat here is you have worldly men who some say are kind of like natural scientists, you know, astronomers, mathematicians, historians, highly educated. They likely would have read, had a copy of Moses's writings, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They maybe had that and would have read it. And then you also have Herod, who is half Jewish and is sort of the, you know, king of the Jews, king of Judea, but he is without belief or even knowledge in the same way the Magi are. And so you have these two things, the Gentile wise men and the somewhat Jewish king of the Jews, and each coming with their own, in a way, like we talked about in Sunday school, worldview or system of viewing the world. And I want to read the story and then talk just briefly about it here for you. So here we are, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where there was the child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What's neat here, I think, as I reflect on this story and who these magi were, these scientists, these wise men who might have read some of Moses' words, it's interesting to think, did they read these things in Genesis? Maybe they read about the Abraham's blessing, that in Abraham and his family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All of the families, all of them, that is, including the Magi, their families, their nation, will be blessed. And maybe they read in Numbers. Maybe they read these words, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel." Maybe they read these words, and they knew, like the psalmist for our psalm yesterday, Psalm 72, that there is no helper for them. You know, the psalmist writes, "For he, God, the Lord Jesus, delivers the needy when he calls the poor and him who has no helper." And is it possible that the Magi, these men, these educated men, had read Genesis and Numbers, and then all of a sudden in the sky they see this phenomenal, mysterious, unusual star appear to the west of them, and those words of God rattle in their hearts and minds and enliven within them some kind of faith or curiosity that they went. I think it's possible that they went in faith to see if this promise is true, that in this star, in this the one who holds the scepter, that there will be a king who will rise out of Israel to bless all nations. So they heard, maybe, the scriptures. They saw the work of God. They believed. what they had been told and read and what they have seen, and they found the king, the one, the child, and they worshiped. They worshiped him. They fell down and they worshiped him. These Gentiles recognized the promises of God, believed, and worshiped. Now think of the one who lives in Jerusalem, that is King Herod, the king of the Jews, the half-Jew, the king of the one with access to the chief priests, the one with access to the scribes and access to the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And here he is hearing that there's a king. How strange would that be, the king of the Jews hearing that there's a new king of the Jews? It's no wonder that Herod got nervous and maybe even, you know, scared, maybe even incredibly anxious and ready to lash out to defend his title, to defend his way of life, regardless of what the scriptures say, regardless of the promises of God. For him, his security and promise lied in himself and all that he had. And we know, because last week we read what follows immediately after, and that is Herod lashing out to destroy the sons of Bethlehem in a horrific, bloody murder. That's the two people you have here in this story. One, a group of men who hear and see and believe and worship. And one man who will not hear, will not see, will not believe, and will not worship. Now, where do we sit in all of this? Well, you're sitting in the pew, so I know who you are. You are as the Magi were. You hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promises for you, that it is finished in his giving of his body and pouring out of his blood. You have the forgiveness of sins in the new covenant. You, who are Gentiles, have been saved. And this is what Paul talks about in our epistle reading. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3. He says, this is the mystery, that you, Gentiles, are heirs of the promise of Christ Jesus, that you have the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, just as was given to the Jews. We are all one, Jew and Gentile, in Christ Jesus. And that's you. You're in the pew. You're sitting there with the Magi, hearing the promise, believing, and worshiping the one who comes to give his gifts, that is life and salvation. But we're surrounded by Herods. And even often, Herod is, you know, we are as if Herod was inside. We have moments of great self-righteousness and justification. And we lash out at one another because we want to defend what is ours. We're the king. And a new king has come, but sometimes the darkness that Isaiah in our Old Testament reading just overwhelms, the thick darkness on people, the darkness of the world, and we see that we are little Herods. But the good news is that the light has come. It has arisen. It has shone in the hearts of man and on all mankind. The light has come into the world, and that's again, what Paul writes about, the light has shined in the darkness. It has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, the one born just not too long ago, as we remember his birth and Christmas, in his face, we see the glory of God and the love of God and the light of God. And this light overcomes the darkness, erases our sins, and removes it as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are removed. And so we give thanks as we begin this season of Epiphany for the work of God in Christ Jesus for us, even us Gentiles. And we seek him wherever he may be found. And he's always found on Sunday mornings at your church, on your altar, and the bread, and the wine, and the word. So come with the Magi and worship him. In Jesus' name, amen.